Well, taxes were high, wages were low, and freedom was scarce as those shepherds sat out thinking about the pitiful state they were in the Roman Empire. But if there was a more unlikely group of witnesses to the greatest event that would ever happen on planet Earth, it would be the likes of those men. But God chose them because of one simple ingredient in their lives: faith. A journey that begins in faith usually ends with joyful praise. Their journey that Luke records that began in the shepherds' fields by faith ended with the greatest praise and the good news. If you have your Bibles, look with me in Luke chapter 2. I just want to challenge your hearts from God's word, thinking of those shepherds as messengers. Life for a shepherd in century one was difficult at best. Cold nights, long days, distant family, and rare friends were part of the territory. Sheep stink and shepherds smell. Sheep wander and shepherds search. Life was never restful. Work was never done. At the low end of Jewish society stood the shepherd. Away from the synagogue, absent from the temple, defiled by dead animals, they were the outcasts of the Jerusalem crowd. They were unable to even be a witness to special events. They almost seemed outside of the culture. But then everything changed. In Luke chapter 10 and verse, or Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, we find on a starry night, on the hills of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were left forever changed. What they heard and saw was burned into their hearts and minds. What they found was to forever change their lives. Luke tells us they went from the dazzling light show in the fields and searched until they found him. In fact, I'll pick up in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." By the way, that is the very same word for "go into all the world and preach the gospel." It's the exact same word, euangelion. The good news, proclaiming the good news. So that angel said, "I am giving you the gospel that brings great joy, which will be to all people." Luke tells us that after they heard that, they searched until they found him, the one of whom the angel spoke. And when they found him, they were never the same. In one moment, everything they'd ever gleaned from the scriptures came alive to them. Think about what went through their minds as they rushed off. In fact, someone has wisely said, the shepherds leaving the field, heading, looking for Jesus, was the first Christmas rush. Well, truly, they earnestly rushed off. And what were they doing? God, angels, heaven, Messiah, promises, prophecies, all that became real at once. All of a sudden, it makes sense to them. Sacrifices, lambs, offerings, sin, and forgiveness. That night became intensely personal for their own hearts. The sheep that they had watched and sold had become pictures of God's mercy and grace. The temple that they served became their temple. The sacrifices were for them. And that night, the pictures made sense. And they met the Savior. Life as a shepherd was monotonous and predictable. Sheep vary little in their habits. They walk so often down the same path, it soon becomes a rutted canyon. Sheep are helpless. They can't even clean themselves. Sheep are dumb. They can't even find food unless they're led to it. Sheep are dirty. They walk around and collect any and all filth that they come into contact with. Sheep are helpless, dumb, and dirty, and can only be cared for by someone who is very patient. So a group of very patient men who sat on the same hills their grandfathers had sat upon were watching the stars and talking that night when God came down. The shepherds remind us how God comes to us. God is the seeker. God is the initiator. And the shepherds were there willing to listen and then to act. God can save even the most distant, the most defiled, and the most outcast. We see, starting in verse 10, when the angel said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you these good tidings." And then, verse 11, "For there is born this day in the city of David," and then it's fascinating. The English, we all know so well, "the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord," has been added to for our benefit, because actually it's just three words: Savior, Christ, Lord. No articles, no articles on each one. They're just three words in a row. Fascinating, the order. A Savior, Christ, Lord. They needed to see the Savior. They needed to realize He was Christ, the fulfillment of all the prophecies, and then they could worship Him as Lord. That night, I see many, many powerful truths. They listened to God when He spoke. What a wonder, but fearful sight they saw. Yet they didn't ignore what they witnessed. They didn't run away from what they saw. They didn't refuse to hear what the angels said. The first thing about those shepherds, they listened to God when He spoke. Another thing we can observe, they came to God just like they were. You know, when the first sight of the angel coming down and making his touchdown in front of them and getting ready to speak and all that light began appearing, they might have thought, well, I need to back away. I'm not educated. I've never talked to an angel. Or I lack the right clothing. Or I lack the right standing in society, because shepherds were outcasts. But instead of that, they welcomed God's message in wonder, in fear, in uncertainty, and in hope. There was no time to become someone else. God spoke to them just like they were. Interesting what those men teach us. They also responded to God at once. It's such a picture of faith if you think about these men. It says that as soon as the angel got done saying, verse 12, that this will be a sign to you, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and the huge angelic hosts arrive. Verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now." Interesting, the response of these men. They responded to God at once. In such a picture of faith they are. They received the message and they acted upon it. They didn't doubt. They didn't disagree. They didn't question. They didn't hesitate. They just heard and responded. And they were the very first ones that got to see Jesus. It's amazing that if they had tarried, and if they'd have thought, "I need to get a little more knowledge. I need to check into this a little more. I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to go off on my own," that Jesus' parents would have moved on to the place that they went to perform on the eighth day, Christ's circumcision, and for the great event that that would be. And if those shepherds would have tarried, if they would have waited until they were someone else or more prepared or more able, they would have missed it all. But no, they had a little knowledge but a lot of faith. And Jesus richly rewarded their simple faith. Their journey that began in faith will end in joy. It's interesting, the wording of what it says. It says in verse 16, "They came with haste and found." Very fascinating. That word means to keep searching until located. It wasn't like they just had an address and they just walked up and opened the door and there he was. What it means is they kept on looking and searching and searching and searching until they found the one described. The lesson we learn from them is that they sought him until they found him. And Luke uses a term to help us realize that they had to search until they could find him. And they did. They took what God had given them, no more, no less. And that's all they needed to find Jesus. And they did find him. They searched for him without giving up. You know, it's amazing when they did that, they went against the tide, against the crowd of their day. In their day and time, they were not welcome. They touched dead animals, so they were ceremonially unclean. They did not wash their hands up to the elbows every time they ate, so they were ceremonially unclean. They didn't come to the temple. They didn't hang out in the synagogue because they had to be out with their flocks. So society said, stay away, you're not welcome. Go back where you came from, we don't like you. They were outcasts, they were unwelcome in public, they smelled. Yet they came, they found, they believed, and they went away telling everyone that came across their path that they had met the one whose coming into the world brought great joy. Have you ever thought about how absent joy is from our society? Now, there are a few times in life you see the simple joy of a child. I mean, and you know it because everybody's filming it, because it's so rare in our society to see that absolute complete joy that seems to be evaporating around us more all the time. But that's why the shepherds were so excited. Because God says, I bring you great tidings to all the world. God is offering the good news, the message of great joy can be had. Peace with God, to be complete, to be finally at rest. And that's what they found. They told everyone that they could about the good news, just like the rest of the New Testament would record. These shepherds went back to their old jobs, but they went back as new men. And everyone that came in contact with them heard about the great tidings of the peace of God and the joy that could be had from the inside out. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation, and old things are passing away, and all things are become new. Well, this Christmas time, I wonder, are you going to be a shepherd? Are you going to be a witness? Most unlikely crew on earth. And God picked them for some simple reasons. He picked them because they listened to what he said. Are you listening to God? Do you listen, especially when he speaks to you through his word? They came to God just like they were. They didn't try and say, I can't do it, I don't have education, I don't have a right standing, I just don't have it. They just came like they were. And they responded to God at once. And they sought Jesus until they found him. They went against the tide. And they told everyone they could about the good news. You know, there's a hymn that says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, one of the greatest things that will impact your faith is to see that change in someone else. You know, this past Sunday I was preaching in Maine, and I didn't preach some big gospel sermon. I just preached about Joseph and does God have all of you. When I got all done preaching, I was shaking hands and saying hello to people. And all of a sudden I saw a woman with a man in tow. And I always know that's a bad sign. I know it's a saved wife with a bad husband that she's going to push on me. And so this woman came towing this man up, and sure enough, when he got in front of me, she put him right up there. Put him right in, just pushed him against me. And I looked and I said, I thought he was the man with the spiky hair that had gotten saved at the funeral the day before. And I said to him right away, I said, I heard you got saved yesterday. He wouldn't even look up at me, had his head down, and he shook his head like this and said, no, wasn't me. And his wife began to cry standing there. I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity. And so I looked at him. I said, so you weren't the one that was saved yesterday. I said, how would you like to be the one that's saved today? And you know what? He lifted up his chin. And I looked into an old creation, 38 years old, probably an alcoholic, wasted. And I said, wouldn't you like to know your sins are forgiven? And his wife started answering for him. And he looked at me, and he said, it never works for me. And I said, I can guess why. I said, I bet you've never repented of your sins. I said, you want them more than God, don't you? And that's when he started crying. And I said, you know, what is it you want? He says, I want my sins forgiven. I says, would you like to come with me? We have a place that can happen. And I hauled him back into the back room, into a little stairwell, and he got down on his knees, and his wife got down on her knees, and I got down on my knees, and that man right there heard the gospel message. Behold, I bring to you this day a wonderful story of a Savior, Christ, Lord. You know, that's an interesting order. That man needed a Savior. I told him on his knees, Christ had come who fulfilled every promise of God. And he must bow to him as Lord. He did, right on the spot. Cried out to God, wept. One of the most, I wish I had a video camera. But you know what was even better? What he looked like afterward. He was one of the most radical changes in someone's appearance I've ever seen the moment they get saved. He went from being down and being dark-eyed, not even willing to look up, and scowling, pushed forward by his wife, to a man who stood looking at Bonnie, shaking his head with a radiant smile as she shared her testimony of coming to Christ. An absolute change. And that's what we celebrate tonight. That's what the shepherds witnessed. That God has come down to give great joy. If you don't have it, you can have it tonight. If you know Christ, you should be overflowing with it as we worship Him. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, I thank You that the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest." That was because it was the greatest news of all, that God had come down to bring peace to the restless, to bring a Savior to the lost, to bring the Christ to those who were hopeless and nothing ever worked out in life, and to bring the Lord of all to reign and to give life meaning and purpose and to give them a final destination that would never perish or grow old or be defiled or corrupt. Thank You for sending Savior Christ, Lord. Thank You for telling a group of shepherds, a group of men, that went back to their old jobs as new men, never to be the same. Thank You, that's the message that every one of us who know You are to be dispensing as ministers of Your gospel, as men and women of God who tell others because we believe it, because we have it, because we live it. And this Christmas Eve, we worship You who came. Thank You for being the bread of God come down from heaven. I pray that You would bless us as we worship You, O Christ who came. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.